This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by DVC Resale Market. DVC Resale Market has become the leader in the DVC resale industry. They have sold over $400 million in DVC Vacation Club and have over 100 years of combined direct DVC experience. If you're looking to buy or sell, DVC Resale Market wants to put their knowledge and world-class service to work for you. Contact our friend Nick Cotton over at DVC Resale Market at www.dvcresalemarket.com.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 236 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. On this week's show, it's all about the news. We've had a really intense week this past week, actually about a week and a half, of some great news from the parks. And we said, you know what, let's take a break and let's bring everybody some news. Before we get started, though, let's introduce who's on the show with us tonight. First of all, we have Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy, how's it going?
Quaharini. Oh, wait, I'm supposed to say that at the end, huh?
Turn it around, reverse it, and try it again.
Jumbo.
There you go.
We also can't say Quaharini backwards?
No, I can barely say it forwards.
Arini Qua, Arini Ak. Along with us also, as you just heard, we have Sam. Hey, Sam, how's it going?
Hey, it's great. Glad to be back. Yep. Took a couple of weeks off, but you know what? The news is amazing coming in from all angles, and it's probably been a couple of months since our last news show, so time to talk about some stuff that's new and maybe even some rumors, but we like to stick to the real news here.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. And as by time you guys hear this show, Sam's going to be down in the middle of the world. So this is kind of a refresher for him, too.
Yes. What's new? There's some Donald Duck magnet that I get pass holder over at Hollywood Studios this week. I can't wait. That starts on next week.
I didn't even know about that. How long
is that? Yeah, the 17th. That starts the 17th and runs all summer. It's a Donald Duck magnet to go with the Minnie Mouse magnet and the Mickey magnet over Flower and Garden. There's annual pass holder magnets everywhere.
Oh, I got to think they have Daisy with Donald then.
Absolutely.
I hope so. Okay. So anyway, what we're going to do tonight is kind of hit each of the parks and Disney Springs and maybe bring up a story or two we've heard that just sounds out of this world and one of those things we really can't wait to see ourselves. And there's plenty of them this time around too. So what we're going to do is we'll start at Epcot and move ourselves around the world. Now, at Epcot, we saw a couple different announcements this week. Jimmy, you pick one of the three first.
I think the biggest one that was impactful for me, I guess the biggest one is the new Future World Hotel going in. There's two proposed sites. Disney does like proposed site A and proposed site B. Proposed site A looks like it's basically where the monorail station is, like right in front of the park. Proposed site B, if you're looking at a map of Epcot from World Showcase, is to the left of that, kind of where the bathrooms are as you're walking to the parking in that area, which probably doesn't have anything there. I guess technically that would be behind the Living with the Seas Pavilion, wouldn't you think, Sam?
Sort of back in that area, yeah. So this is one that came from some permits that were filed. Nothing has been announced by Disney, but there's been lots of speculation. And I think it's pretty clear that they're going to be growing some more hotel rooms. And the front part of Epcot may be one of the places that they're looking at.
But if they build a hotel there, right where that station is, and the track is already there, I think they would be really, really missing the boat if that monorail didn't go through that hotel.
I kind of don't see it happening right there, though, if you think about it. Think about the size of the hotel being on top of the monorail station in front of Epcot. It would
I think it goes that way, but then even forward, you got to remember they're going to be getting rid of all those tombstones and stuff like that.
Oh, I understand. So, are they going to get rid of Spaceship Earth then, too? I mean, For the size of a hotel, that's a big footprint.
It's a big footprint, yeah.
It's further back than that, and I think you got to think like a contemporary sitting right there. So they're probably going to go from the entrance of Epcot now, or maybe even move the entrances closer to Spaceship Earth, and then go back toward the parking lot.
Right. Okay, well, we'll have to see. Definitely, there's a lot of ways to go with that. I don't see it over the top of where the monorail is. It kind of loses the whole idea of the Spaceship Earth being the whole, the keystone for the park?
The weenie, the park icon.
Right, right. So, yeah. Now, the other one, okay, that makes a little bit more sense over where it is, and you'll have park entry, but it doesn't sound – and is this the Star Wars-themed hotel?
This is not the Star Wars hotel. So just Star another, Wars hotel is all the way over by Galaxy's Edge.
Right, okay, yeah. So, okay, I heard actually also rumor-wise, and we'll get rid of the rumors and on to the news, but I heard rumor-wise that they're also talking about another theme park. There's no reason why they couldn't build another theme park down there also.
Directly from Bob Iger. Bob Iger said in a meeting on the 8th that, you know, basically construction – for new theme park would be inevitable, was the word that he used.
Right. So
with no timeline either, right? He also said studio's name was changing.
Just one day in the future. Look, Universal Studios just bought up a bunch of property and they're going to be doing a third gate.
Yep.
We pretty much know that's true. So I think that's good. And I've never even been to Universal, but I think as they expand and improve, I think it forces Disney to do the same.
I think if anything else, and it's something that we have another show to record at some point talking about the D23 concept art for Epcot that we saw back in August that had the completely redone Future World. And when we say redone, take everything inside the monorail and completely redo it. We're talking about mouse gear, interventions on both sides. We're talking about the electric umbrella, the Starbucks. It all was completely redone and much more green space. And I think it's safe to say that at some point there's going to be some big changes coming to Epcot's Future World.
I can't see that.
But that's all rumors, right? But along those lines, Ed, we know for certain from D23 last year that there's a space-themed restaurant coming to Future World at Epcot. And now we know where that restaurant is going to be exactly, because there was lots of speculation of where it would be.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. This week it came out. And we had talked about it in earlier shows because we knew it was going to be next to Mission Space. The only problem was it going to be on the left side or the right side? The Life Pavilion side, the Wonders of Life, or the between Test Track and Mission Space?
At one point we even thought, you know, hey, could they use part of the Wonders of Life as the restaurant?
Right. Well, now we know, and it's going to be right between Test Track and Mission Space. So that whole area, which is basically unused, it's a lot of like kind of wilderness grasses and stuff like that out there, is going to be the new restaurant. And I'm looking at the picture of it again, and I'm just so amazed. I hope the animations are going to be that good.
When you look at that area, there's a lot of room behind the facade to Mission Space that I think they can build this thing and you're not really even going to see it. Then when you get into this restaurant, the space theme is essentially projections on the walls all the way around you like you're in outer space. So it doesn't have to have windows with a view, is my point. This could be built and us never even see the construction. And then just one day, there's the doorway to go into the space theme restaurant right next to Mission Space. And I think it's pretty cool. And a great use of space that doesn't take any, if you know what I mean.
Right. You could put this underground, really, based on that.
You could.
I've said many, many times in many shows that I truly enjoy when they do something that's a net add, that they're not just replacing something or changing something, but putting something there that was never – they're just taking an empty space and creating something.
Yep.
Here's what's interesting. My first thought when they announced it's at D23, does Epcot really need another restaurant?
Well, I think Future World does.
Absolutely, and that was going to be my point, Jimmy, because there's nothing on that side of Future World restaurant-wise. Nothing.
That coral reef on the opposite side?
On the opposite side.
Well, this is going to be a quick service, right? Because we have the electric umbrella up there, but
this is a sit-down.
Right, okay, so perfect.
Watch.
Yeah, they definitely need that. Yep, perfect.
Yeah. You got it.
And now how much of a theme would you have maybe bleeding over from actually one of the other bits of news we got this week? We got to see them pouring the foundations and the concrete decks for the Guardians of the Galaxy ride over to the other side now of where we're talking about, over the old Ellen's Energy Adventure. And so we know that the place is going to be huge, and this is a space restaurant. I could see definitely some crossover with the Guardians of the Galaxy maybe over here at one point.
There has to be. And I really think that whole corner of the park in the front will be Guardian, will be Marvel at some point, although they're not allowed to call it Marvel, but it will be ties back to the superheroes in space.
Right. Oh, no doubt. And actually bringing us to our third announcement we've found out about in Epcot. And this kind of ties into the incredible summer offerings that they've been announcing, where they're going to have the Guardians of the Galaxy Awesome Mix Live over at the American Gardens Theater. That's the one over by the American Adventure. And they're going to have that all summer long, starting at the beginning of June.
I have one question about the previous story.
Say it again?
I have one question about the previous story before we move on.
Oh, sure.
So you see them reimagining Test Track?
No.
To something Marvel?
Really? No, I see when you look at Mission Space, everything to the left gets reimagined, something Marvel.
Okay.
I don't think that. Although, well, let's put it this way. As long as Chevrolet still has the sponsorship, Test Track isn't going to change. But right. As we've seen in the past, as soon as a sponsor leaves, anything is possible.
It has a more, you know, when they redid it years ago, it definitely has a more futuristic kind of space feel already.
Sure. A lot of people call it Tron Track because of that, right?
But how about this?
As long as that sponsor's there, it's not going anywhere.
Oh, true, true. Okay. But here's my Marvel pitch, and then we'll move on. Making an Iron Man ride. You're going to ride in Tony Stark's Iron Man as throughout the entire ride. You're going to be going 60 miles an hour like you're flying like Iron Man.
Iron Man.
I'm sorry? I think Iron Man is – there's a very strategic reason that Disney's lawyers are around creating these movies based on characters that hadn't previously been made, like Guardians of the Galaxy.
So it's the
because
Ant-Man.
They're not covered in the contract.
It's the Ant-Man. There's
a specific list that's covered in the license agreement with Universal.
Okay, Falcon. Let's go even back tier two.
They probably don't have Falcon. That's probably
I'm with you, and it's the obvious ones that you see when you walk into Universal that they cannot touch.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, cool. And anyway, another quick note. Jumping forward again to that Guardians of the Galaxy, the Awesome Mix Live, it has Gamora and it has Star-Lord the way they're explaining it. And I guess by calling it the Awesome Mix, you're going to have a lot of music going on too. When I was in California last summer, they had this outside the Tower of Terror, I think some version of it, because there was a show they did maybe 4 or 5 times a day with Gamora and with Star-Lord, and they were basically trying to break into something, a Tower of Terror, I guess. And you'd heard Rocket through the speakers, and they play music and do a bunch of different things not to get detected by the security systems and such. Sounds like this could be kind of same way. And if it is, I think that's going to be a really fun show.
I mean, the music's probably going to be great because the soundtrack
is great. Point,
yeah, when
sure. How can you lose?
When Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one came out, there was a thing where you could download the soundtrack for free on Google Play. So I downloaded it, and I played. All it's talking about just a great just snippet, you know, just some great songs thrown together, and it's all the songs that was on the cassette tape that said Awesome Mix that he listened to when he was a kid on Earth and kept with him the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. And I gotta say they'll probably have something from the Awesome Mix too also. But we'll see. Oh,
so Ed, the when you saw this in California, were there performers, or was this just a recording, or how exactly
performers.
Did it work?
Definitely performers. And we'll have a link to this announcement, actually, in the post. And you'll see the actors dressed up in the makeup. You have Gamora and you have Star-Lord. And actually, we've seen Star-Lord already a couple of different – well, for the meet and greets in the parks. So we know he's running around. Looks like he's going to be jumping parks, though. So pretty cool.
That's kind of cool. And that – you know, if you look at last year and some of the things Disney did for last summer, this is kind of like the music of Pixar Live, but instead you're going to, you know, go to a rock band playing at the American Gardens Theater? Do you think the music's just piped in? Is there a guitarist there?
I have no idea how they're going to do it. They could do it with a band and do covers, or it could be literally maybe they're going to be on the stage doing this whole like kind of act show. I do not know at this point. Hopefully, we'll find out soon.
We'll find out.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm glad they're using this that theater. For a long time, you know, in between, if it wasn't, you know, Flower and Garden or Food and Wine, that stage just didn't get used. It would just be empty. And for a while, they were putting the Voices of Liberty up there for a certain time.
They had, I forget the name of the other one. There was another band they had back there for a while, and I'm completely blanking.
Cover bands. So during the summer, they had the summer series, and they would have like a tribute bands that would go up there and play.
Oh, sure. And, well, it's always that mix. It's that same Eat to the Beat. What's the Flower Show, Flower and Garden, that they have their bands there too. It kind of is like three different series of shows every year.
Yep.
Oh, so there's going to be like three sets a day, like a 5:45, a 6:30, and then a 8 o'clock.
Five shows a day for this one.
Yeah.
Wow. No, it's starting June 9th through the 19th.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
And you figure five shows sounds right because that part of Epcot doesn't open until 11:30 anyway by the time you get around to there. So yeah, the first one's not going to be till noon or one, I got to imagine.
It's a great planner right there when you're facing the pavilion. To the
you mean our planner?
That's funny.
To the left of the fountain, there's a great planter right there. You can sit on and you don't even have to be in the theater, and you can sit there and get a Yuengling and hear all the music and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no doubt.
The American Music Machine is the other entertainment they had back there that I saw a couple of times.
Yeah, I do remember that. Me and you saw Air Supply there.
And it's all, you know, it's all general cover. Everybody knows the music. Everybody has a great time.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, Ed, if I can keep the superhero thing going for a second, you want to hit the Magic Kingdom real quick?
Sure. Next
from May 25th, which is just a couple of weeks away, through September 3rd, Disney Pixar Superheroes will take over Tomorrowland as part of the Incredible Tomorrowland Expo. That's kind of cool. With interactions with Mr. Incredible, Mrs. Incredible, and Eden Moe, the world's greatest costume designer for superheroes, Tomorrowland guests can check out the Supers celebration with the Incredibles decor and the sounds of incredible music. Sounds kind of neat.
It almost sounds like the dance show they have going on there now, right? You know,
It builds to a high-energy, fun, super dance party on the Rocket Tower stage.
There you go.
And, of course, be sure to look out for The Incredibles 2 opening in theaters June 15th.
You knew that was coming.
Well, I hope to see a new character then from it. That'd be great. They didn't mention Frozone, but we usually see him whenever The Incredibles are out.
They didn't mention it, but I don't think we've ever seen Eden Mode before, the costume designer, in any park.
You know, I want to say I have seen her, to be honest with you. Maybe it was California, because she looks great. And, I'll have to think about that.
No capes, darling.
Yeah, I know, right? That's the best line of like any of the movies.
Yeah,
that is. It was disappointing to me, but
yeah.
Now I'm very excited about the second one, and it looks like the sequel is going to start like right where the last one ended. So
you know, Jimmy, completely off topic. There are so many movies coming up that I'm looking forward to, from Solo to The Incredibles to you go right. There's a ton of stuff coming.
There is.
Completely off topic, but on this topic, but off the topic, Ed wants to be on. Today, it looks like today, they, you know, it was pretty much let out that there's an Obi-Wan Kenobi movie coming.
That's cool.
Which
I'd love to see that.
As always happens, there is a Kenobi book out there that talks about the whole time he was on Tatooine watching out for Luke when nobody knew he was watching out for Luke in that 18-year span. So it could be interesting.
I'm excited to see Solo. I would be more excited to see Kenobi.
A Boba Fett movie. But anyway.
Okay, getting back. Now, on our way over to the Animal Kingdom for the news we heard over there, I want to touch base real quick on what are the Minnie Mouse cars called? What's that whole service thing called?
The minivan.
The minivans. Okay. Well, basically, guys, if you're not sure what the minivans are, if you know what Lyft is, if you know what Uber is, it's the same thing. But it's in the coolest little Minnie Mouse painted van. Little red and white polka dots that go around the parks. Now, you guys had a chance to play with these last time you were down there, right?
Did you
experience them and order them?
Did not. Jimmy did.
Okay. I did.
The announcement this week was that they are now available for all the resorts. And you're going to be basically ordering your minivan through Lyft. So somehow they made a partnership. And that on property, you'll be able to get a minivan. And I think I saw the price being $25 to get you anywhere you want to go on property, I guess. So tell us about it, Jimmy. What was your experience? Real quick as we go on.
I think $25 is a little expensive, because you can probably get a Lyft or a Uber probably for half that, or maybe even less than half of that. One of the things, though, is that the minivans will accommodate five people, and a Lyft typically doesn't. You usually have to get a Uber XL or instead of just regular Uber. Mm-hmm. We did it just because we had never done it before.
Nerd.
And, we had a great driver, and I can't remember her name, but she was from the Bronx. Because, you know, Lisa's from Boston, so she was giving her a hard time.
Right. Well, see, now there's an extra option of having the minivan driver, is that that's a cast member who's guaranteed to be a nice person. Quote unquote guaranteed. You never know, but most likely.
So behind the technology a little bit, it is the Lyft app that you use to get a minivan.
So when it's a
partnership with Lyft.
Correct.
Cool.
When we were there, you couldn't just go to the Lyft app and do it. We were at the boardwalk. We walked from Epcot to the boardwalk. And we had to go to the stand, the taxi stand, basically, outside the, I guess, the Bell Services. And I told the young lady out there, I said, we'd like to take a minivan, and we haven't done it before. She said, well, give me your phone number. I gave her my phone number. She sent me a text that I had to go in there, and then it opened up the Lyft app. Now, once you had that app, like once it was enabled in the Lyft app, you could use it anywhere.
Oh. Cool.
But you couldn't get it enabled anywhere, only the specific hotels.
But it sounds like that might be changing based on the news that it just broke.
So correct. The coolest thing about the minivan was she had a little thumb, like a little USB, like jump drive, little flash drive that had every piece of park music on it.
That's wow,
cool.
Nice.
She could listen. We were talking about that, and Angela's like, well, I want to hear Magic Kingdom Christmas music. And it took her about 2 minutes, and she dialed it in, and she played Magic Kingdom Christmas music for us in April.
Now, okay, well, this brings up a great question. Are these people tipped? Or is it just like the services where you're doing it on your phone?
Can you do it through the app, like Uber lets you tip through the app?
No, they're not. Nope. They're not tipped.
These are Disney. They're Disney cast members.
How venomously do they refuse their tips, I would say, next? Like, if you really had a good time, you want to...
They can't take them.
Gotcha.
Interesting. I did ask her what would happen if the little jump drive came missing. She told me there was a GPS on it, and then once I left Disney property, it self-destructed.
Cool. I like that story.
Yeah, right?
That's funny.
That sounds really
good. If I can add, I can add two things to this very quickly. We reported previously that they're now offering service to the airport. It's a little more expensive, but it gets you there. One of the issues that they previously had was you couldn't get enough luggage in a minivan. If you had five people, there was enough room for luggage. What they're doing now is including two vans if you have more than people than luggage. So the two vans will go at the same one price to get you to the airport without needing to worry about where your luggage is going to fit, which is sort of interesting.
Right.
That's very cool.
I got to think that's the short-term answer.
I think it is too.
Bigger vans for that situation. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm sure it is because you have a family of five people and you know you're there for a week. You have more than three pieces of luggage, which is what can fit in a minivan.
Right.
One of the other things, advantage to the minivan, is they all have a car seat.
Two car seats.
So if you get kids that require a car seat, you might not get that with an Uber.
Nice.
Yep, they all have two car seats, which is nice. An Uber, you can get it, but usually waiting longer because there's only certain people that have it.
You have to find one on the app.
Exactly.
And I got to think on property, your person's going to know everything going on. He or she's going to know how to get around traffic, I would hope, better than most.
Yeah, I think the other interesting part, Ed, is long-term, this Lyft relationship that Disney has is sort of temporary. Long-term, this is going to be built into the My Disney Experience app.
Oh, sure. Now, I tell you what.
With some intelligence, this is going to make it really neat.
The way their app is now, they're going to have to – if they're going to add this, they're going to add a bunch of other stuff, they're going to have to redesign their app.
I completely agree.
Because it's getting to the point now where it's a little bit confusing in its own sake just for the normal stuff that we have to get onto it for.
I completely agree. So they have some pretty cool visions of what they want to happen, but whether it happens, who knows. But envision being in a park with a Let's say, for example, you're in Epcot and you have a dining reservation over at the Contemporary. The app will recognize that, and the app will essentially say, hey, we see that you're at Epcot and you have a dining reservation at California Grill. We can send a car to get you. Where would you like to meet it? That's where they want to get. Now, whether they can get there or not, it's a whole other story, but that's the vision of where they want to get to.
Right. Cool. I'd be okay with a little pop-up asking me that. I hope it doesn't get any more intrusive than that.
I'm with you. Pop-up would be fine. Hey, do you want a car or not?
Yeah, yes, it's just a subtle hint. That's all.
As opposed to somebody coming to me, tapping me on the shoulder. Hey.
Hey, let's go.
You got a reservation in an hour.
You booked it. There?
okay. So we're moving on, and we're going over to the Animal Kingdom for a little bit of news. And this came out actually like about maybe 2 weeks ago, but I thought it was too cool to pass up. They now over in Pandora have a new way to kind of give their story. They have a new pilot, I'll call him, because he is wearing a Pandora utility suit. Now, if you've seen the movie Avatar, you know what the soldiers fought in. They had that kind of Robotech type of looking suit they put on, but it was totally enclosed, and they had weapons and this and that. Well, the scientists at Pandora, it seems, now that we're about 40, 50 years in the future, designed this other type of utility suit that looks a little bit like that other suit I was talking about, but a lot less, meaning it's not enclosed, there's no weapons. It's used for the scientists to help them out in the jungle and kind of protect them. So this cast member now is walking around in this suit, which is 4 tons, 10 feet tall. He's got robot arms, and he's got some incredibly powerful robot legs. And he walks around, stops at different locations, and basically answers questions about Pandora and what their mission is. From beginning to end, this entire idea is a really, really cool idea. And it kind of harks on some of those older ideas they had at Animal Kingdom where they had the dinosaur walking around and such. Mm-hmm. Although this is totally controlled by the pilot. And it kind of, and you know, a little bit too, it reminds me if you had somebody trying to pretend to be an animal. You know how they have Lion King? The play where they have everything built up into the different type of animal costumes to make things look good. They did this with the robots. They did this with the future. And I think it's a perfect fit in Pandora. Have you guys seen the video for this yet, or have you seen it?
I have.
What do you think?
I think it's pretty cool. I think it helps them get their message across.
And I tell you what, when I was down there, the hippies were the guys telling us what was going on. And when I say hippies, I mean they're obviously scientists in space, and they're on Pandora to help restore it. But they were dressed in like really long shirts and skirts and pants, and it really kind of had the hippie vibe going there, which was cool.
Well, but you know what's funny when you kind of mentioned that before we went on the air, I was thinking about that. How like that guy that does the pre-show for Flight of Passage is kind of hippie-ish, kind of really super laid back.
I figured that out because when you watch Avatar again, he's kind of a cross of the one scientist that stays in the lab while everybody goes under and becomes their avatar, and the new guy that shows up with Sully, with the guy that shows up, the kind of the other scientist that becomes an avatar. They kind of have that same speaking pattern, that same laid back type of, yeah, you know, we're going to go through this and you're going to have a great time. And
I'm going to have to go rewatch the movie.
I think that's where they get the vibe for that guy from. Because you're right. He is a very laid-back individual as he's going over this very scientific material in the pre-show of Flight of Passage and such. But anyway, so real quick, we wanted to stop here at Pandora and talk about this utility suit. Now, the entire suit itself, it's called the Pandora Utility Suit, which I think is a great name. And yeah, we'll see how it goes on.
That Pandora Utility Suit being part of the 20th anniversary celebration. That's when they premiered that, along with Up, a Great Bird Adventure, which premiered on Earth Day, April 22nd, the anniversary of the park, by the way, Earth Day, and Donald's Dino Bash, which is happening, a Dinotastic celebration back in Dinoland, USA. And of course, all the good stuff happening at Flight of Passage and the world of Avatar, including this utility suit.
Was Flight of Passage on the Fast Pass list before it changed? Because it is now. With the Up version, they have a Fast Pass for it you can get now.
Oh, I don't think that the previous Bird Show was a Fast Pass. I don't remember that at all.
Yeah,
I don't think so. I'm pretty excited about that one because I was a fan. I did enjoy Flights of Wonder.
Oh, it's great. Yep. Every time we'd go to that.
Yeah. So if they did, if it's kind of the same deal where you get to see all these cool things, but then they put this spin on it. I mean, that's, to me, it's great. They theme it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That's one of the complaints we have about Rivers of Light, right? The show's great, but there's no tie-in. So they took this show that you could probably, they could have been in any zoo in the country, but now right. the Disney spin to it.
Sure. And if it's an up thing, we're not sure exactly what's going to be involved, but I got to imagine we're going to have the little guy on the stage, the Cub Scout, and yeah. they have that tie-in to Animal Kingdom, having that great activity for the kids.
Wilderness Explorer.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. And that's exactly it. It's Russell and Doug, Russell, both on stage, right. mm-hmm. Earning their merit badge. That's the whole kind of story behind it here.
Oh, great. That'll be fun. Okay.
So while we're on something that's a little bit maybe not as new as everything else, can I just throw one in there?
Sure.
Just a couple weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, Disney announced they brought free dining back. So dig into a delicious offer. It's free. So that's a big promotion. Right. I just looked today for a client. There's still some dates out there, especially in September, that free dining is available. So, you know, as the official travel agent of the Disney Nerds podcast, if anybody wants to find out about that, along with some other room discounts that don't go as far into the year. The free dining has mixed dates all the way from the end of August into December. But there's also some room discounts and stuff that just came out. Anybody can email me at onceuponatimetravel@yahoo.com or hit me up on Facebook or message the Disney Nerds podcast Facebook. That's a big deal. We've discussed it before, and it's a big money saver, especially if you're staying in a value or moderate resort.
So I can get free dining for our meetup in November?
No, unfortunately. You could.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Actually,
you can't because those dates aren't included.
Gotcha.
I would tell you, if you're planning on being, if anybody that's a friend of the show is planning on being down when we're meeting up, first of all, the free dining doesn't cover that. But I would tell you that our group room discount and the fact that if you book a group room discount, you get 20% off of tickets is probably a better deal than free dining.
Wow, I didn't hear about the tickets. That's a pretty big discount.
Yeah, it's huge. So the only way you can do that is you have to book a room. Now, you can book one day, one night in the group room discount, and the tickets for the group, I can't advertise it because it's a group discount, so they don't want agents going out and trying to advertise it and sell it to people. But mm-hmm. if anybody wants to contact the Disney Nerds podcast and message us, I would be happy to send them the rates. We have group room discounts for All-Star Sports, Caribbean Beach, and Animal Kingdom Lodge, and that's for dates from about November 3rd through November 11th. Now, you don't have to go. You can overlap those. As long as your dates kind of overlap or fall within somewhere in between those. Obviously, our meetups are the 9th and the 10th. So if somebody's going to come, we'd prefer them to come for our – we'd like them to come for our meetups. So it's a great deal. It's been a great deal. This is the third year we've done it. And every year we've looked at it. We've waited till like AP room rates and AP and Florida resident rates came out, and it's a better discount than either one of those.
Jimmy, let me ask you something real quick. I had seen a free dining that was just free dining for kids. That's not this. This is something different, right?
Correct. That was a summer offer.
Got it. Thank you.
A little bit different. The other thing is, and you get the group discounted tickets. If you book with the group, you can buy group discounted tickets. Those tickets also include a free day at a water park.
Oh, and you know what? That could be very key this summer because there's another new announcement we're going to be talking about. Sam, you were telling me about this one. What's going on?
Absolutely. So over at Typhoon Lagoon Water Park, Disney just announced Rex and his Toy Story pals. Get that, more Toy Story. They're showing up all over the place. They're throwing a glow party bigger and better than ever. Rex, also known as the Partysaurus Rex, will be hosting Disney's H2O Glow Nights. All attractions will be open for guests' enjoyment, and as part of the fun, a DJ will host Dancing on the Beach. This special ticket event will crank out the fun Thursdays and Saturdays only from June 21st through August 11th from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. So this is a nighttime offering over at Typhoon Lagoon Water Park.
Very interesting.
Nice. Now, those parks, I guess, normally close at about 7, 8 o'clock?
Typically, yeah. And if you've ever been to them, they tend to empty out around 2 or 3 o'clock, which is why there's a special deal you can get in really cheap if you enter after 3. But yeah, they tend to close at 7 or 8 o'clock.
Right. Very cool. That sounds like a fun time.
What's interesting is I would assume that they close before dark just for safety reasons.
Well, everybody will have glow rods and glow necklaces.
Everybody's going to be glowing, so they'll be able to see them under the water.
One of the things we always played with the kids in pools in the water, I'd always bring glow sticks because they are so fun to play with, especially at night in the pools, obviously.
That's kind of cool.
And they light up the pool like you wouldn't believe. So the entire park with this type of theming, this will look really fun. This should be really fun. I can't say that I'm going to be doing it though. I still have a hard time burning some time at the water parks.
I agree. It kills me too.
Yeah.
I've never been to Blizzard Beach. I've only been to Typhoon Lagoon. I would love to go to at least try Blizzard Beach, but it's so hard to peel yourself away from park time to do something.
It is, man.
Mm-hmm. We have water parks.
I like the Partysaurus Rex though. That's kind of cool.
They're tying it all in. It's awesome how they're moving Toy Story all over these parks.
They are.
Okay, well, guys, let's move on to the ultimate in Toy Story in the parks. Obviously, Disney Hollywood Studios came out with a lot of information this week in preparation for the opening of the Toy Story Land. We were able to see a couple of the different rides. The first one we saw was the Slinky Dog Dash roller coaster. Great name. And you know what? We were debating where this is going to fall. Well, anyway, let's step back a second. This is a roller coaster, and it's going to be the main ride of the new section of the park. You guys agree?
Is it the main ride, or is Toy Story Mania still the main ride?
No, that's the thing. This is the main ride.
It's the new thing, right? It's the main new ride, but I still think Toy Story Mania is the draw for this.
Yeah, I agree.
This is the one you see. You see this new land, and you go, "Wow, I gotta ride that!" And up until now, we've only seen concept and artist and simulations of what it would look like. We finally get to see it. Cool.
Right, and you never know how these rides go because basically watching it, it looks like a good roller coaster, not fast, no loops, things like that. It kind of looks a little Seven Dwarfish. Where you have a nice smooth ride, you have some hills, you have some turns. Now, Seven Dwarfs, even so, is still one of the most popular rides in Magic Kingdom. We don't know how this will go. You never know.
Although
Toy Story Mania has remained one of the best rides since it's opened. So, yeah, we'll see.
You know, another interesting thing that I thought of when I first saw this video is these roller coasters are driven mostly by gravity. So the video we're watching is with nobody on it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's probably going to go a decent amount
quicker. A little faster when people are on it. Yeah, I suppose.
When it's loaded with, 40 people because it's going to be much heavier.
Right.
So here's the question, and it kind of piggybacks on what you said, Ed. If we said that Mine Train, when it opened at Magic Kingdom, was somewhere in intensity between the Barnstormer and Big Thunder Railroad, where does this fit? Is it – I'm not exactly sure. It may be somewhere between Mine Train and Big Thunder?
Yeah, I'm going to say that because it's a lot bigger looking than Big Thunder is, a longer ride. But again,
it looks it longer. It's hard not to be misleading. Longer than Seven Dwarfs.
Yeah, true. It doesn't look like it has any indoor sections like Seven Dwarfs did. But it does look like a fun ride. It does have fast passes. Yeah. We were able to get a fast pass. We have it on, I think, the 3rd. We have our fast pass for in July. So at least we're going to get on it once. More than likely, we're going to rope drop the park and get there for that also. Which is going to be interesting because I have a feeling this is going to be crowded regardless, and there's not much more after that.
I think the most interesting thing to me is that since this is coming out for these fast passes, they've dropped Rocket Coaster to a tier two.
And Tower.
So okay.
Tower was always a
so
tier
you
two.
Can get for your three for your three fast passes, right? Well, you can get now this, one of the new ones, or Toy Story Mania, Rock and Roller Coaster, and Tower, right?
And Tower. Before, it would be like, all right, my tier one's going to be Rock and Roller Coaster or Toy Story. For me, it's always Rock and Roller Coaster. Then my tier two would be Tower of Terror. And then my
Star
other
Tours or Muppets or something.
Yeah, right. Something probably didn't need a fast pass for. So it was almost a wasted fast pass. Right. Now you can get one of these in the tier one and do Rock and Roller Coaster and Tower of Terror. I feel like you got it now.
So you started, Ed, when you introduced that I was going to be in Disney World next week, which I'm going to be next week, and I have all my Fast Pass set, and I can't get a Fast Pass yet from my trip in July because I can't get another one because you can only get 7 days at a time.
Oh, wow.
So I can't get a Fast Pass until I use one on Saturday. Then I'll be able to get them. So I'm hoping something's available.
Yeah, good luck.
And if the Slink Dog Coaster isn't available, I sure hope this other attraction, the Alien Swirling Saucers, is.
Now, was there a fast pass for that, too? I think there might have been, but I'm not sure.
I think there is. I can't go in to see. Right. That's why I'm hearing the tier stuff for the first time.
And this one looks kind of cool, but it does look like a kiddie ride, though. We will ride it. Don't get me wrong.
This is the East Coast version of Mater's Junkyard Jamboree.
Yeah.
Which Mater's? I thought that would be more like the tire thing.
No, Mater's Junkyard Jamboree is exactly like this, except Mater is towing, the tractor is towing a thing behind it, and Mater's pulling you around, and what you're doing then is swinging behind it while this thing goes around a figure eight, and this looks exactly like it. Now, I've been on Mater's Junkyard Jamboree a bunch of times. The kids absolutely love it, but I'll tell you why I love it. It's the stuff that goes with it. It's the Larry the Cable Guy lyrics to the songs, and it's just really good. And I hope that we got something good like that happening here with the aliens.
The other thing, the cars that move around, the things that move around. You during one of our live streams, you came on, Sam, and you showed.
Yes.
Luigi's.
I remember.
Was that the Luigi's?
Oh, that's this. That's Luigi's Rockin' Roadsters. Yes, that's different.
Okay.
That's different, but Mater's Junkyard Jamboree.
Right.
Mater's Junkyard Jamboree is more like a spinner, except you're on a figure eight. And the whole thing here is it's like a whip. So as you're going around the bend, the car behind you kind of swings around a little bit. Right. So you get that back and forth swing like you would in a classic whip ride. It's cool.
I'm excited for it.
So you have the little alien, and he's pulling around the car behind it. The car behind it looks like a Toy Story Mania car.
It kind of does.
Without
you're right.
the guns. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, cool. Nice tie-in. So a lot
of this is Andy's backyard, and they're using all of Andy's toys to build this stuff, right? That's the whole thing of the Slink Dog track. So when you look at it, you see the blocks that he used to build it, and it's Andy's backyard. So take the theming that was inside Toy Story Mania when you're in his bedroom and you're shrunk to the size of a toy. Now you're outside, and the Slink Dog Dash is a little playset that he put together for you to ride on. That's kind of neat when you look at it that way.
Oh, no doubt. I can't wait to look for the Easter eggs all over the place, too. I think there's going to be...
You know there's got to be hidden Mickeys. Come on. I'm already thinking of it. You know there's going to be a hidden Buzz in there, a hidden Woody.
Even just finding toys we haven't seen in years. That'll be a fun thing, too. Now, one of the other things coming new is a new restaurant in Disney's Hollywood Studios. So the Toy Story Land is going to have Woody's Lunchbox, which is going to be a quick service restaurant, and I think a kind of... nice added option is they're going to have a breakfast menu also. They realize people are going to be getting here very early in the morning to get on these rides.
And be hungry. And people are going to skip breakfast to get here at Rope Drop.
Oh, no doubt. Now, the breakfast they have, looking at the menu, it looks great. It looks more like dessert for most of them. We've got s'mores French toast. We've got a banana split yogurt parfait. We got a breakfast bowl, which is potato barrels smothered in smoked brisket, country gravy, scrambled eggs, and sprinkling green onions. Actually, that one sounds really good.
I mean, the whole thing, though, it says a hearty portion of potato barrels.
So it's covered. Yeah, so it's a big bowl of tater tots, basically, is what that is.
Tater tot poutine.
Yeah, no doubt.
With scrambled eggs.
And they do have a smoked turkey breakfast sandwich, which I think that would be actually pretty good. Plus the kids' meals that kind of complement
I like that banana split yogurt parfait there. I got to tell you, that looks pretty good.
Pineapple, strawberries, a banana between layers of banana, coconut yogurt, and topped with granola and dark chocolate chips. Everything you need.
If I'm going to have a yogurt parfait, a banana split yogurt parfait is the way to go.
Now.
Now, the lunch and dinner menu is a little bit more complete. We've got a barbecue brisket melt sandwich, smoked turkey sandwich, a Monte Cristo, nice, a grilled three cheese sandwich, and tochos. It's the potato barrels. It's the tater tots with beef and bean chili.
It's the same thing, yeah. Yep. They're just putting some beef on it instead of scrambled eggs. I like it. Yeah,
chili, nice. Shredded cheese, signature queso, tomatoes, corn chips with sour cream and a sprinkle of green onions. Oh, my God.
And the prices
aren't
that bad.
So potato barrels are tater tots, right?
Tater tots. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's $9.
It's basically loaded tots is what they are, but with corn chips on them.
Right.
Oh, that's like that's what theme park food should be.
Everything.
What do we got for desserts here?
Not that many.
Nothing too fancy, but nah. Okay.
It's a box tart. We have a raspberry lunchbox tart and a chocolate hazelnut lunchbox tart. How much you want to bet you could buy a lunchbox or the kids' meals will come in lunchbox you could pay extra for?
Well, look right there at the souvenir alien zipper.
Yeah. All right. Yep. I've seen those cups. They're pretty cool. They've got the claw inside of them. And
it almost looks
the
like the cup from Be Our Guest, right? With the rose inside,
yes.
Except it's the claw coming down. That's kind of neat.
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
I like it. How much was that drink? $16? Yeah.
Yeah, it's $16 with the extra souvenir cup. Give you an idea, it's only $4.50 without the souvenir cup. Mystic Portal Punch. Now, they do have adult beverages. They have alcoholic beverage, which is pretty cool.
Grown-ups lemonade.
And it looks like kind of the standard kind of cool drinks and a couple beers.
Yeah,
grown-ups lemonade, and then actually that's the only drink they have, and the rest of it's either Blue Moon, Bud, or Angry Orchard.
So the grown-ups lemonade is the signature back here then. Okay, sure. Why not?
This sounds really good, although... Yeah.
This will make Lisa happy.
Well, yeah. Joe will be happy. There's Bud Light.
Well, it's Bud Light, right? Lisa doesn't like to drink beer. She likes ciders. So there's an Angry Orchard draft, 22-ounce draft for $9.25.
I thought this was sponsored by the cheese people. Am I right? I thought I read that early on. I forget what they're called, but maybe not.
Who, Velveeta?
No, not Velveeta. The little round cheeses that have
Baby Bells?
The Baby Bells. Yeah, I thought this was sponsored by Baby Bell.
I
want to say that an original press release said something about Baby Bell cheese, but maybe not. Maybe they're gone.
Look at this Monte Cristo. I don't remember being at raspberry. Thick sliced smoked turkey breast, ham, raspberry marmalade, Dijon mustard, melted Swiss cheese on a grilled custard soaked brioche.
Last Monte Cristo I had was in Disneyland, and it was darn good.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That was a standard sandwich out there.
Yeah.
Looking forward to this restaurant, too. How can you not?
Look, they've done a great job of making changes to menus to existing restaurants and making them much better. And the new ones they opened, like the last one they opened would be Satouli Canteen.
Yeah.
Right. And that was groundbreaking, too.
And it's fantastic. The food there is fantastic.
Cool. Now, real quick, because one of the things that they brought up into that canteen was that you can order on your phone and then just pick the food up.
Yes.
Your guys' last trip down, did anybody try the ordering on the phone, pick the food up?
Multiple times.
So it's a done deal to have to do it?
My opinion, absolutely. So Jimmy gave me one of the biggest heads up, and I have to repeat this, Jimmy, because it was absolutely brilliant, which is when you're walking around Epcot, they have the Flower Garden Festival is going on, and you have all the samples, and you get the little size beverage, whatever it might be. And it was just after a regular old beverage in a regular size cup. And we're standing back by American Adventure, and I used my mobile ordering to have a beverage waiting for me inside the American Adventure, the restaurant on the left, where I just walked right in, grabbed it, and came out. No line whatsoever. It was perfect.
Walked in and got a big beer instead of going to the cart and getting a small beer.
I was trying to say without saying beer, but yes, that's what I did.
That's okay. We can say beer on our show.
Jimmy goes,
we can say
you want a real beer or you want that little paper plastic cup thing?
Well, the thing is that you get a 12-ounce beer at the place where they sell the turkey legs.
Yeah.
And you get a 16-ounce beer inside, and it's only a dollar more.
Oh, and you get 6 ounces if you go to one of the festival center things.
It's right. 6 ounces.
Is it six? It's not even six.
the alien swirling saucers. Check this out. It's designed as a playset that Andy won as a prize at the Pizza Planet restaurant. The attraction's out of this world fun. Toy Story green aliens have powered up their flying saucers, and Earthbound guests get to play along. In the rocket ship toys, guests swirl and whirl among toy planets and space stations as part of the game while the claw hangs over them. The space adventure is bathed in multicolored lighting and sound effects from throughout the galaxies. So that's kind of cool. It's a prize that Andy won at Pizza Planet and set up in his backyard.
Very cool.
Very interesting.
I'd like to see the claw move. That would be fun. The ride stops and the claw comes down, and whoever ends up underneath of it.
Over at Slinky Dog Dash, you'll like this one too. Wheezy, the squeaky toy penguin from the Toy Story films, will do more than brighten smiles at the Slinky Dog Dash. The all-new audio animatronic figure will appear in the last scene of the coaster singing You've Got a Friend in Me in the great and unexpected voice of his. Wheezy will be accompanied by his toy friends, Mike the Tape Recorder, who provide him with a microphone, and Mr. Spell, who texts funny commentary.
Oh, he's great.
That's kind of interesting at the end of that.
That will actually be pretty cool because Wheezy does do really well.
So Wheezy singing, and I think it's kind of cool, the speaking spell. They're texting some things on Mr. Spell.
Now, you know, it's really funny about that. And when you were talking about that, it made me think about it. I'm like, Wheezy singing. When you go into Magic Kingdom and you go into Mickey's PhilharMagic.
Right. Yeah, he's on the wall.
He's on the wall. An Evening with Wheezy. And he's got the corded.
Yes. I know exactly what you're talking about. I know exactly what you mean.
That's freaking awesome that, you know, that was put in there how long ago, and it's all tied. It's,
man. Sure. He's got a good agent.
Yeah. So we talked about a restaurant. We talked about a couple of attractions. We also have here that Sarge and his Green Army Man drum corps will be marching several times a day throughout Toy Story Land. The drum corps marches on. Everybody's invited to follow along as the Green Army Men put fun in an interactive boot camp. Well, they're toy with guests using giant Pixar balls, oversized crayons, and a game of Sarge Says. Kind of cool.
Sure.
We can have a drum corps in Toy Story Land, but we can't have one in American Adventure. Remember that? That was awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the fife and drum, and you remember that.
Sure. If your kid participated, they gave you like a little, yep. Give the kids like little constitutions rolled up and tied with the ribbon.
So if we talked about everything, you know, where does the ride exit? After a day of play in Andy's backyards, guests can relive their memories with fun merchandise created exclusively for Toy Story Land. Headbands and crowns by three-eyed space aliens, a Slinky Dog toy with light-up rings who can stretch around the waist or shoulders and double as a fashion accessory. There you go. I can see Jimmy with Slinky Dog lit up wrapped around him.
They get it.
His neck.
Yeah. And kids get bragging rights with a commemorative I Played There t-shirt to let the world know that they were among the first guests to Toy Story Land.
There you go.
Cool. There you go. It all ends in the gift shop.
It always does. Okay, guys. Well, that was a really, really big news week. Now, I tell you what.
And I feel like we scratched the surface.
Well, that's the thing. But anyway. That's the thing. So, I guess what? Anybody out there listening who definitely wants to share something that we missed that we should talk about next week, send us an email. Jimmy, tell everybody how they can get in touch with the show.
You can email us at questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds. Instagram @TheDisneyNerdsPodcast and Twitter @TheDisneyNerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.TheDisneyNerdsPodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Okay, guys. So that's it for show number 236 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. For Jimmy and Sam, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Quaharini.
Congaloosh.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back.
So,
and this is the first time you're actually
Thursday through Saturday after 10 o'clock, Disney Springs comes to life with late night offerings until 2 a.m.
Saw that. That. Like Enzo, I mean, the Edison.
Yeah, the Edison, Raglan Road, Forbidden Lounge.
So it's only in certain locations.
They basically have a bar hopping guide for you here in this press release, which is kind of funny.
There's I think there's an official bar hopping tour.
Oh, there was that, the bourbon tour.
Right, right.
That I put in the All Nerds at one point. Yeah.
Something like that.
The bourbon trail. I'm like, wait a minute, what? How did I not know about this? Bourbon trail, that's cool.
Have you gone over to, what's the barbecue restaurant?
Oh, the pig, the Polite Pig.
They have a whole bourbon bar there.
They do. Absolutely, mm-hmm. And it's wonderful. I don't like that. So the outside bar is really cool to sit out and have a drink, but inside it's a big counter service.
Yeah, it's not that
which I was disappointed in.
Bigger restaurant either.
Yeah, I thought.
Order your food at the counter, then they deliver it to you.
Yeah, I guess I was expecting a sit-down restaurant. That's all.
Come on, man, it's a barbecue joint.
Yeah, I get it, and it's got a nice bar.
Yeah, I mean, it's not supposed to be.
I understand.
And you know, I hadn't eaten there, but Wyatt and my nephew ate there. Me and Kim went and did something else, and they took care of them. Like, they got waitresses and stuff that still come, will get you drink refills and stuff.
Oh, cool.
Like that.
Yeah, I didn't do it, so I don't know.
But you order at the counter, and then they deliver it to you. But they really enjoyed it.
I love how this press release keeps going. It talks about new retail locations at Disney Springs, Disney Style and the Disney Corner and Ever After Jewelers. All of those are temporary stores while World of Disney's under construction. But they make it sound like these great new things. That's just funny.
Well, there is one of them that's pretty new that sells like even park props and stuff.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I don't remember.
I wonder if that's the Disney Corner.
Maybe. I really like what they have done with Springs.
Oh, absolutely. You have to. Yes.
Can it be too big?
I don't know.
You know what I'm saying?
Because there's a shit ton of people, so I would say no.
Yeah,
true. There's a lot of retail corridors there that don't seem to be overly crowded, if you know what I mean.
What?
If you go in the stores, yeah, I agree.
Here's what I want. I want the other end, the original Downtown Disney end, to be...
West Side?
Yeah, I want that to be updated to be nice as the other end is, because there's not
a lot
of bars.
Well, that's what they're doing, right? They tore down...
No, not West Side. He's talking
Downtown Disney.
The bus stops. The old bus stops.
Yeah. The
World of Disney section. From World of Disney McDonald's to the volcano, to the Rain Tree. They need a good bar. Any good bar, as opposed to the margarita stand. They have the Rain Tree. They have the one downstairs. But
when we were there in April, that margarita stand has a big like pergola and a bunch of outdoor seating with a waiter that comes out, and they had live music out there.
That's cool.
Pagoda.
Pergoda. Pergola.
I don't think there's an L in it, but anyway.
Pergola. Pergola.
Okay. What's a pergola? I won't let this air.
It's like it's almost like a patio cover, but they just got boards that go across it. There's no real cover.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. And it's cool. But I also see other than the lava bar and that bar, there's really nothing over there. I mean, you got a bunch of shopping, and you have Earl of Sandwich in there and a pin store that doesn't know what it wants to be anymore.
Right, no, that's really horrible little corner. I mean, you have the Rain Tree.
Although one of those, they gutted. It's a Star Wars store now, right along there, like next to the Pin Traders.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out. See, now that's another stop, because it is so huge. That's a big time investment to get over to Disney Springs now, too.
It is.
Getting there and then cruising around.
Yep.
But, you know, priorities. Okay, guys, so that's it for show number 236 of the Disney Nerds podcast. No,